Because most of the black Americans living in Paris were employed in entertainment, it was usually early morning before their jobs were done. They collected after work at American-style bars or in tiny cabarets like Bricktops. In his memoir, Goody's friend, trumpet player Bill Coleman, fondly remembered the friendships among African-American musicians at, for instance,
the bar and Hotel Lijoux, where many of the American musicians would congregate when they had finished their night's work.
Daytimes for most musicians in Montmartre consisted of endless hanging around in bars, cafes, billiard rooms, or the corner tobacco and postage stamp vendors where musicians often met. Coleman noted,
between Boudon's and Lijoux's was a little Harlem in the early morning when all the night spots were closed. The American musicians and entertainers gathered in those bars and tobacco stores with the tabac signs.
Some of the favorite spots to hang out were a joint called The Flea Pit and Boudon's Cafe. That popular cafe was even memorialized in trombone player Dickie Wells' Langerous Hanging Around Boudon. It's got a scat vocal by Bill Coleman and Django Reinhardt guitar. Even Sidney Bechet's biographer John Chilton notes that a large part of the jazz life for most Americans in Paris was sitting about, gossiping, gambling, and drinking. But some musicians weren't impressed by what they saw in Montmartre. Like clarinet player Albert Nicholas. He complained,
the musicians that I saw in Paris were just hanging around and playing corn, gambling amongst each other.
But I suspect that the ever-productive and always enterprising Mr. Goody would have been less tempted by booze, gambling, and gossip than most, except as it might have aided him in finding work. And if his music income ever ran thin, the resourceful big boy always had his upholstery trade and other ventures to fall back on. The man always had a knack for engaging in multiple simultaneous enterprises. As for relaxation or diversion, Big Boy might have just as easily been drawn to Bullard's Athletic Club, operated by our old friend, nightclub operator, and drummer Gene Bullard. Catering to the elite of Paris and to the African-American community of Montmartre, it was the most popular of many gyms. And they were, in fact, a popular antidote to the partying and hard living of Paris, an attempt to balance the champagne-soaked nights with exercise, massage, or some training in boxing. And as I've suggested, Frank Goody was a remarkable physical specimen. Massive, solid, and strong. He definitely liked to stay in shape and probably even did some sparring. And in fact, he told a musician I know that he'd been a boxer. In the early 30s, as the economic depression began to bite, Montmartre nightlife fell off. The decline was hastened by the spread of drugs, prostitution, and street crime. And a local Corsican mafia was shaking down cabaret operators for protection money. The downside of allowing a thriving Harlem-style jazz district finally provoked a strong reaction from the formerly tolerant inhabitants and the authorities. After 1933, between protests from out-of-work French musicians and tightening regulations, performance of African-American jazz was curtailed in Montmartre. But by that time, many of the top musicians like Goody had begun finding more prestigious venues outside Montmartre, outside Paris, on the French Riviera, or in Monte Carlo. There was work in Belgium, Holland, and the Low Countries. Portugal, Spain, and Germany. Some set off touring Egypt, Istanbul, Bombay, and beyond. And before long, other developments, like Paris discovering Django, and then the specter of German occupation, finished off a unique cultural era. Wow, that was a heck of a band that Freddie Johnson was running in 1933. Frank Goody knew that chart and was in that band, but not on that recording of Harlem Bound, a fine original written by Freddie Johnson. And we've heard several tracks by that band that he co-led with the fine trumpet player you've heard, Arthur Briggs.